My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week are artists Shuju Wang and Lin Yan. They're talking about a new mural called Restoration Roadmaps, which is on the west side of the new Lincoln High School building at Main and Southwest 18th Avenue. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus by Zoom, Shuju and Lin.
Thank you for having us.
So, Shuju, you're a well-known artist around town, and Lin, you teach at Grant. So together, somehow you two came together and designed this amazing mural, which is meant to be, it puts that part of Goose Hollow on the map, not just on a map, but in terms of history, flora and fauna. So just tell us briefly, how did you two get together to come up with this idea of a mural that talks about the history of Goose Hollow?
Lynn and I met when she was selected to do the Portland City building, the Portland building's public art piece. So she's an public artist. So she was selected to do a public art piece at the Portland building. And that was when we met. And then later we decided to work on this mural together. Lin, do you have?
Yeah. When I had read the description for applying to this project, I was aware of Shuju's work and her research at the Portland Chinatown Museum, and that she was an artist in residence there, already doing a project on Tanner Creek and the history of the Goose Hollow neighborhood. So I knew that she would be just such an awesome person to work with for this project because she's already bringing so much research and kind of activating that history through art. So we met up at a gallery, or I approached her at a gallery talk. We decided to apply together.
So these pieces of public art come about by a request for proposals. You probably saw that and thought, oh, let's come up with a design together. Then how long did you spend on the design? How much kind of, coffee meetings was it? How much back and forward on Photoshop or whatever platform you used? How long did it take? Lin?
Initially we both wanted to do a living wall. I think we had some architects who were willing to work with us to navigate the logistics of it, but I think PPS, because of their timeline, it really needed to be a painting, or we weren't really sure how much the wall could bear as far as weight. So we went through quite a bit of different ideas and changing our ideas around from our original concept. Shuju, do you want to add?
We had very little time. We were selected for the project at the end of August, and we had a first look on the site in September, and we had until the end of December to submit a proposal for approval for PPS. And then after that, and I think our meeting actually was delayed until early January. And then after that, the city had to approve. So we had only maybe 3 months at most to do the engagement and to come up with the design. So it was very tight.
Was the first step just sitting down with a sketch pad and a pen?
No, we just mostly met over Zoom and Google Drive. Remember, this was, it's still COVID, right? And and we're both pretty comfortable with using technology.
So, Lin, what platform would you use? Like a tablet or piece of paper?
We use a mix of things for the actual creation of the design, but the actual kind of layout of what it looked like came pretty far after we had to start with the community engagement, thinking about who we're going to contact, what is the theme of the mural, what's being requested. So we actually started with just creating lists of people who we wanted to connect with. And then, you know, spent a lot of time just outreaching. As Shuju said, it was a really short period of time. And then once we kind of gathered everything, we were able to mold our, the physical manifestation of the mural a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. So if anyone hasn't seen it, the mural is a, it looks like a large yellow kind of rectangle, and around the outside is all different plants and animals of Oregon or of this area. The yellow part in the middle is a map, contour map of the West Hills, where it comes down, where Tanner Creek comes out of the West Hills, goes under the Lincoln High School site and Providence Park, I think. And then it also turns into a like a city map, a grid. So you can stand there and figure out where you are. There's a star. And you can think about the runoff from the hills, where it goes. And I know Providence Park and Lincoln, they both had to deal with the river running under their property. So they couldn't have a building on it. That's why they have the sports field on it. The building is too heavy. So this creek, which has been covered over for a long time, was also a site where people, it was like a vegetable farm. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah. It was like a 21 acre that area, also near where this, also where the school is, where the sports field is, that was like a 21 acre vegetable farm that the Chinese immigrant farmers worked at.
Mm-hmm. And that, what era was that?
So I think the vegetable, so when they first started to contain the creek at Burnside, where the creek crossed Burnside, I think that was 1870. I don't remember the exact date in my head. It was in the 1870s. And then they just gradually started to cover more and more and more of it. So, but right after that initial containment, upstream from that, the city had hired Chinese immigrant laborers to build that containment system. And after that was built, they stayed and they started to farm that area. They leased the land. It initially was a very small patch. They leased the land from Amos King. But then it eventually grew to 21 acres, and then it ended in 1910 after a big flood. But also, you know, the Multnomah Athletic Fields really wanted to expand, and that was the precursor to Providence Park. So at that point, the farm disappeared, and the athletic fields basically took over. But, you know, I'm a little rusty because I haven't been thinking about this for a year, but that's the general gist.
At the bottom, there's a bunch of vegetables, carrots, beans. What are those leafy greens, Lynn?
Oh, snow peas. I'm sorry, snow peas. So there were, I think, four Chinese vegetables represented, or four vegetables represented, carrots, snow peas, Chinese cabbage. What was the other thing? Can I see the picture again? Oh, okay. Only three snow peas, carrots, and cabbage, Chinese cabbage, bok choy. And those are the only.
Okay.
So it was very difficult to find written documents on what was grown there. And I was able to find carrots and cabbage in written document. And I put snow peas in there just because it's a typical Chinese vegetable.
Lynn, talk to us about the selection of animals around the outside. I see a wolf, I see a turtle, I think a blue heron.
Actually, that area was something that Shuju worked on a lot, because I think she's very knowledgeable about the plants and animal species of that area. So I'll hand that over to Shuju.
Oh, okay. Sorry, what was your bit more the map stuff?
My kind of main is the community engagement aspect, and then I think I physically work on the map part.
On the what?
Did that part come through? No. So I worked primarily on the community engagement aspect. Did that part come through? Okay. I did primarily the community engagement aspect and then trying to lay it out onto the physical map.
Okay. Shuju, talk to us about the animals that you've arranged on the right side of the mural. I see a wolf, a turtle, a big blue bird, I'm not sure what that is, and a brown bird. What are these?
So the flora and fauna represent the native flora and fauna in the regions from the Tualatin Mountains to the west, so that would be on the left side of the mural, to the Willamette River on the east, and that will be on the right side of the mural. So those are specifically placed in the right areas of the map. So that's another form of the map. That was the map of the native flora and fauna. And that's a coyote, which is actually a generalist. So it would really be all over the area. I wanted to do a beaver, but PBS was afraid that it would invite graffiti because of the beaver and duck competition. So they asked that I replace the beaver with something else. So I replaced it with the generalist coyote. That's a great blue heron, really? Which would be along the river on the marsh side. So there was a marsh along the river. That's I believe a western painted turtle. Again, that would be a river and marsh animal. And there's a wapato and there's a great camas, and the gold and blackbird is a cedar waxwing. And it's eating the red berries are a red elderberry. So that's all on the east side along the marsh and the water. And on the west side you will see the forest, the Tualatin Mountain animals. So I mean a lot of these animals would range, you know, further. There's really a lot of crossover. But so you might find the great horned owl on the western red cedar, and both are represented there. And of course the alder, and the Pacific dogwood. So there, you know, that it is a map in that, it's indicating what kind of animals and plants we find in what type of a habitat.
And then down in the bottom left corner, there are some mushrooms. What are they?
Turkey tails. So they are decomposers. You will find them on dead, logs, dead plants, dead trees. And they're also all over. They're not just in that region. There are a lot of generalist species on that map.
I think something that was really exciting for me was how much Shuju has researched all of these species. She's a gardener, but also just the historical aspects of the plants and animals. So a lot of those plants are very specific to the region and how it brought people to that area. So there's the Chinese vegetable farms, but also it was a site of trade. And so the types of plants that grew in that area shaped the people history of the area too.
My name is Joseph Galliman. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week are artists Shuju Wang and Lin Yan. They're talking about a new mural at Lincoln High School on the west side of the building called Restoration Roadmaps. So this mural is pretty new, but you're trying to give a history of what was there before the school, the Mac Club, you know, all the urban stuff. And you go back to the history of a Chinese garden and a river, Tana Creek. But then a lot of the writing is about indigenous inhabitants and talking about give the land back. How do the Native Americans fit into this map? Lynn.
We are on unceded indigenous land. So I think any public art piece or public work or anything in general, good to acknowledge our history on this land. I think an unrepresented history of that area is there was a lot of indigenous trade, into the late 1800s at least. So while the Chinese vegetable farms were active, it was also a site where people of many different backgrounds, ethnic and racial backgrounds, were trading. And so it's a really interesting area of Portland history that we don't really see represented very often.
A lot of the writing on the mural came from the engagement workshops, and many of those things were for the students.
We had some really awesome history and ecological experts that contributed to our project. So part of our community engagement with Lincoln was going into different classrooms and doing workshops around the history of the area. So we had people like Dr. Tracy Prince or Dr. Rosemary Wong, who were kind of complementing the collection of words and information for the mural with an educational component.
And we also had an urban designer and hydrologist who came and talked about the history of the geography, the topography, and how the river was buried and all of that. So yeah, we had these, and we also had an ecologist. So we have five short little videos that we show to all the workshop participants.
Lynn, when you were talking to like the Lincoln kids, because it's kind of their mural, it's their school, what kind of things were you hearing that they wanted on the wall?
So we went to several different classrooms. Our community engagement, as Shuju said earlier, it was a very short period of time. So I think we had maybe just a couple weeks really that we could kind of go into classrooms and collect responses. So we had collected a lot of written responses to things that kids would want on the mural or things that people would want to see to honor the history, but also thinking about things that they could do for the future of the neighborhood. So all the writing on the mural represents actual words that were given to us from Lincoln students, staff, and a few community members and alumni. A lot of it ended up getting cut because I think we got several hundred responses, but only
we had
so
almost,
much could
almost two, almost 200.
Yeah.
It's a complicated piece of design because you use the words as contour lines, or at least they trace some of the contour lines of the, you know, the hill sloping down to the Willamette. How did you balance this sort of image and text? Because there's so many different things going on. What was it like trying to balance words and pictures?
We actually had a lot more words in our original design, but I think because of the timeline for painting the mural and PPS, and the mural painters were very busy, of course, we weren't able, most of the words had to be cut. But if it were up to me, I think we would have had a lot more of the students' words represented.
The background is this dark blue with little marks, like kind of little straight lines, stubby little lines. Is that the sky and stars?
Right. So that's also another form of a map, except there aren't enough stars showing to really, you know, navigate by.
Did you know, when you take a photo, when somebody skilled takes a photo of the sky and they have like a 3-minute or 5-minute exposure and the stars look like little lines because they've moved.
Yep.
Is that what this is?
Well, so yes, that was the reason that I gave for, I mean, afterwards, after it was already done. But, you know, the reason why it's that way is because I really had to expand. I had a small photo and I had to really expand it. And that was just how it worked out. I had to really stretch it.
But was this the twinkle of the stars or is it the time lapse motion?
I would call it the time lapse motion, but that's just what I'm going to say it is, but that's really not what it is. It's just a digital effect from me stretching it.
Okay. I see. Yeah. Did you take the photo?
No, I grabbed a photo and I played with it until I got what I wanted. I just grabbed a photo off the net and I'm, you know, dealing, fixing it, manipulating it until I got what I wanted.
So Lynn, you teach art at Grant High School, but you also have a lot of experience with public art. So tell us, what was it like balancing the sort of research and, you know, talking to lots of people, but when the end product is just a big piece of art on a wall, how do those two elements come together?
I think the project was so short. So, you know, if we had more time, it would have been nice to be able to engage with people more deeply and reach out to more people. But, you know, it was kind of like a really fast moving car. So we had to try and talk to as many people as we could in a short amount of time. Shiju and I talked a lot about the kind of anxiety around translating. A lot of times I think artists have to translate people's wishes or desires or things that they want to see. And so one of the concepts, the reason why we stuck with words was because we wouldn't have to translate it so much. We could have people's words directly onto the mural, or the artist commissions, their images could be directly on the mural, instead of us repainting or reconfiguring what they had to say.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, like when you write an article, if you interview too many people, you end up with too much stuff and a bad article. Mm-hmm. So how do you focus, you know, how do you decide what to cut? Do you have a particular thing you're listening for when you begin, or does that just evolve as you go through the interview process?
Oh man, I think that is one of the tricky parts about working with a group is we have a bias towards what we're listening for or the kind of people that we're reaching out to. Of course, there's so many people we didn't talk to, or there's, you know, whole histories that we didn't really research or represent in the mural. So for better or for worse, I think that we did have to make choices and a lot of edits about the type of information we're looking for, who we're talking to, things that wouldn't be hurtful for the future if we can help it.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear things that immediately translated into a visual image?
So we actually asked for written responses. At the workshops, each person got a worksheet and they were asked to respond to very specific questions. So we had words to work from, and some people also drew extensively on their worksheets. We asked them if they could respond visually or textually. So we had all of that, and we were able to go through and we put all of that on, you know, in a spreadsheet so we can review and see what came up over and over and over and over again. And that was how we were able to sort of decide what was important, the things that just came up over and over again.
We actually made kind of an elaborate document where we categorized everything and kind of number marked them so that we could really see what categories stood out the most and make sure that those things were represented.
Yeah, I'm just really glad you included a map, because when I first heard that Tanner Creek existed and was underneath all that part of downtown, and And then Goose Hollow was, you know, kind of a marsh, and the creek goes all the way to the Willamette by the Fremont Bridge. It just fascinated me that all that stuff is still there underground because it rains a lot, but we just don't even think about it. And I think centering a map in the mural makes so much sense. It's sort of historical information. It's great.
Oh, and creating the mural, we also thought a lot about the future. And so, kind of as Shuju said, all the images we kind of thought about as maps overlaid on top of each other, whether it's an ecological map or a map of the stars, the words being a map, both referring to the past, but also kind of carving a pathway for the future. You know, since Lincoln is a school, a lot of the students and young people grow up and make the history of that future of the neighborhood.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah, we really wanted the words to represent people's hopes and wishes for the future. So the words laid on top of the contour lines really represented a combination of a map of the future on top of a map of the past. Or the contour lines is not really a map of the past, it's still there, right? So on top of the land contours.
My name is Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week were Shudu Wang and Lin Yan. They are artists who created Restoration Roadmaps. It's a mural on the west side of the new Lincoln High School building, and you can see it at Main and Southwest 18th Avenue. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus by Zoom, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.